And we are here. It is September 9th. We can go on and catch the... He's getting everything all situated back there. If we can catch the side fills, that way they can see a little bit out there. There we go. Let there be lights on a rainy day. We are here. September 9th, a day that we've been looking forward to as a leadership. Those who have been involved in renewing the focus. Finally taking all the work, all the stuff we've been putting together for the past year and months. I should just say over the past many months, that would maybe sound a little better. Because we've been knee-deep in this for a long time. And it's been a process that's needed that. And so it's been really, really good for us to work through this. But this is a time where everyone's been working on it. We're getting a chance to see this. This is where we get a chance to see what we are going to become as a church, where we're headed, what's going to happen. And today it starts with all of us dreaming together, an event that we have not had at our church as long as I've been here. And I think it even dates way past that, to have the church come together and a dream together and to have an event like this. So it's going to be great. We got fried chicken downstairs? Yes. All right. And did you guys remember to bring something? All right. Some of you, okay. And if you didn't bring anything, that's okay. You can join us. If you came in this morning, you're like, I didn't know anything about this. Just come downstairs, enjoy some food, enjoy some fellowship, get a chance to know some people, and join us in dreaming. Don't be intimidated by that being, this is not a church members only type of meeting. So we want to have everybody's input, and maybe God brought you here this specific day for this specific purpose, kind of an Esther moment, you know, for such a time as this. And don't think, well, they don't need me or they don't want my opinion or, you know, we want everyone. And if you forgot to bring something, it's okay. I've been here 13 years, and anytime there's a potluck here, there's always plenty of food. So your little dish won't be missed at all. Pop on down there. Tammy, remember to bring another cake. For those of you guys who might not have been here last Sunday, Tammy was so excited. She brought a cake last week because she thought last week was the dream event. And so she had a cake that said MCC Dreams. And so she texted me yesterday. She said, I got a bigger one this week. And then she said, do you think we'll be out by one so we can go home and watch the Bengals play? So who planned that? We didn't. I should have looked at the Bengals schedule before we started that. We're taking kind of a break. We'll take a break today. We'll be taking a break in about a month or so when we get around to our next big event in our Minor Prophet study. And that is a... That's been a lot of fun. I have a lot of people commenting on that. That is a study. We're digging in, grabbing a bunch, reading a bunch. They're thick sermons, the Minor Prophets. Today is more devotion-oriented as far as the type of method. It's more biblical thoughts and ideas from different places, themes, rather than study. So just in case you're like, man, I really like that Bible study stuff. We'll be getting back to that next week as we continue with the Minor Prophets. But today we're going to be talking about dreams because we've got this event downstairs. And I approaching this message, I went to the I was talking with the elders at the elders meeting, and I was like, what do you guys think? What should this one look like? And they gave me some ideas. And I talked to the preaching team, and they gave me some ideas. And I was just kind of... So today kind of became just a culmination of a lot of different people's thoughts and ideas of what might be helpful for us today to go into a time of dreaming. And so we're just going to be talking about dreaming today and some various facets of dreaming. Let's start at the base. Let's start at the base level. Have I talked about Taekwondo recently? No. Okay, good. So I'm all right. All right. I got a warning. I was like, if he talks about Taekwondo again. Okay. So I've kind of backed off a little bit. There's so many life lessons. And when I'm teaching, we have got different stances. And it is so very important that the right stance is the right way. We've got rules. You know, you got one fist apart and you got three and a half feet forward, back legs out. That should be 30 degrees. I'm not looking at it. Hopefully muscle memory is treating me right back there. 30 degrees out, and that's a deep stance. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason for that. The back stance, there's a reason why it is the way it is. And when I get a chance to work with the with our beginning students, I focus. Well, it isn't only the beginning students, is it, Jim? I get onto our black belts and I'm like, fix that. That stance should be different. It should be, there's an important reason. But when I'm working with the beginning students, I'm like, okay, you need the stance correct because that's your foundation. From the belt down, that's your foundation. That's what holds you where you're going to be. That's what makes everything count. And if this is off, it doesn't matter what you're doing up top because you have a foundation. And every one of us have a foundation. And as we come together as a group, we have a foundation as a group. And so we need to be reminded, we go into the notes slides, that we dream. We dream on the foundation of our past. That's what we've been through. We have a foundation that we dream on. And for every person, that's different. For every church, that's going to be different. But it really comes from the same things. We dream from the past, what we've been through, our experiences with God, our trust and faith in God, how we've seen God come through for us many, many times. We've got a foundation of our past of failures, times when we've fallen short, times when we've kind of doubted or we've dropped back or we've dropped the ball on something. And we have those moments in our life as individuals and as a church. We have lessons that we've learned from that. That's part of the foundation. We have our struggles. The times we've pushed through, we've really struggled through something, either struggling through to maintain and do something good, or when we were struggling through some times when we've been weak, we have struggles. And that's all part of the foundation. That's what gives us what we're dreaming on. That's where it comes from. That's our foundation. That's our past. And this is no different for us as it is for many, many other servants of God along their journey. I mean, there's just numerous biblical stories. I'll just take a couple here. A couple of famous people that we know of in the Bible. We see this in the life of Abraham. In chapter 12 of Genesis, God tells Abraham to leave the land where he's living, and God's going to make him into a great nation. He's not going to make him great again. He's going to make him great the first time. It was his slogan back then. God gave Abraham the dream. Here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to make you into a great nation. Here's the dream. Now go do it. And Abraham moved on it. He acted on it. But then we know that Abraham struggled with that dream. We know just a few chapters later in chapter 15 that Abraham had some issues with this dream. He's like, you know what? I don't get it because I'm supposed to be made into a great nation, but it's just me and Sarah. There's no Abraham Jr. There's not even a hope for Abraham Jr. because nothing's happening in that department. And they were getting old. I mean, not like old like us old. Like people are, you know, people that, you know, when you're a married couple and you're getting in your 30s and you're approaching that 40, you know, you're thinking, you know what? It's getting, our time's a ticking. No. You take that, you double it, and then you add some more years. And that's where Abraham and Sarah were. And you talk about watching the time ticking. And say, whoa, we passed 40, you know, 50 years ago for Sarah. For Abraham, 60 years prior. And so Abraham's like, you know, I don't understand what's happening here. And so God helps to reinvigorate that dream, to bring that dream back into focus. He takes Abraham outside. Well, actually, I have the scripture for this. In chapter 15, it says, he took him outside and he said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can. If indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Here's the dream, Abraham. You got your struggles. You've built more of a foundation. Here's the dream again. Look at the stars. That's going to be your offspring. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So God gives him that dream again. And you can see as you continue on through the story of Abraham that dream and God continuing that dream and that dream that involved faith, that involved experience with God, it involved failures. Abraham let God down a couple of different times and different things where he made some choices that weren't great. But it's just the way it is. And you build on the foundation and then God continues to add to the dream. You have a foundation, he adds dream to the foundation. That's the way it works. You take someone like Peter. Peter in the New Testament, after he denied Jesus three times, Jesus has a conversation with Peter just days after his resurrection. You guys remember the story, they're out fishing, and Jesus appears on the shore. And Jesus says, "Hey, have you caught anything yet?" And they're like, "No." And he's like, "Well, why don't you throw your nets on the other side?" Which was kind of reminiscent of the day when Jesus first called them to be their disciples. And so when they do so, John nudges Peter. I don't know, maybe John had better eyesight than Peter. We know he was faster than Peter. He rubs that in his gospel a few times. But John nudges Peter and he says, "That's Jesus. That's Jesus on the shore." And then Peter, just typical Peter. I love his attitude. He's just a go-getter. He tucks his tunic in. He jumps in the water. He swims. He beats the boat back to shore. And when they get back there, Jesus is already cooking breakfast for them. And they have breakfast together. And then Jesus pulls Peter aside. And Jesus asks Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And many scholars believe that those three times are connected with one time each for every denial. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And with each phrase, when Jesus asks a question, Peter responds, Jesus counters with the dream. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Yes, I do. Take care of my sheep. Do you love me? You know I do. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Here's the dream, Peter. You've had struggles. You've been through some tough times. You've had some faith failures. But Peter also had some faith successes, didn't he? When you look back, I mean, no other human can claim that they walked on water except for Peter. And Peter was the one who opened his mouth and he gave out the great confession that we share. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter had a share of all those things, and that was his foundation. And Jesus comes along and he says, here's the dream. Go feed the lambs, take care of the sheep, feed the sheep. And then we know in the book of Acts, Peter gets an actual dream, an actual vision from God in his expressed desire to take the gospel, which Peter was passionate about to begin with, to take that gospel out into the Gentiles. Here's what I want you to do. Here's the dream. Here it is. Here's a little bit of it. Feed the lambs, take care of the sheep, feed my sheep. Now, here the flock is going to grow. It's bigger than just the Jews. It's bigger than just God's chosen people, the old covenants. It's the Gentiles too. Here's the dream, Peter. And that built on the foundation that had even grown from the time when Jesus had ascended into heaven at the end of the Gospels. Through these early chapters of the book of Acts, we see Peter as he continues to grow. And he has experiences with God and his faith. God helped Abraham to dream on the foundation of his past experiences. Abraham grew through times of doubt, through times of trust and faith. And God built on that foundation. God kept Abraham dreaming through many of his life events. Peter was the same way. Jesus helped him to dream, to build on the foundation of his past, his faith and his failures. How he cared about people, his passion for the gospel. And Jesus gave him dreams. It's consistent. Those are just a couple of examples of how God helps his servants to dream, and how God builds on the foundation of our past, our experiences with God, our trust and faith in him, our failures, the lessons that we've learned from those, our struggles, the difficult times, and what we've gained through those difficult times, not just as individuals, but as a church. So we've seen that here, haven't we? All of those things I just listed. We've seen every bit of that. We've experienced God together as a church. We've experienced God together through faith, through trust. Times when we've had many times when we've been praying for something. Jane sitting back there, we have thanks for the prayers. Keep them coming because she's going in for chemo. Things have been going great. And we see God working in those times and those events. There are many people here who are recipients of the prayers of this church. And how God has come through. And we build on that. God builds on that. He's going to give us dreams on the foundation of our past. We've been through the struggles. That's not to bring down on a great, exciting Sunday. But that's what happens. God builds on those. He builds on our failures when we've let him down as a church. And church, listen, I'm not bringing this up as negative or anything. It's just, I want us to understand this is par for the course. It's not just, oh, this is Miami Town, or oh, we've been through this. No, it's the specific scenarios, the specific situations, they're unique to the individual. They're unique to the church. But listen, church, nothing that we have gone through here, positive or negative, is anything new for God and his kingdom and his people. And when it groups of his people together, every church that exists has been through their times of successes, times when they've seen God come through for them because they've trusted in him, they've had faith in him. Every church is going to have stories of their failures. Every church is going to have stories of their struggles. And though ours are unique, theirs would be unique. It's not unique to go through those things. And that's what God's building on. And that's what the dreams that God drops onto our church today, they're going to be dropping on a foundation of our past and everything that's included in that. And that's a great thing. That's not a negative thing. Not only does he build on our past, but he builds on our present. That's also directly connected to how we've grown. So God has made us who we are today. The present, that's who we are today. That has happened through things that have happened in our past. That has happened as we've grown. And we've been through faith and we've been through struggles. We've been through the pain and the difficulties of different times. We've been through all that. And we are who we are because of that. But not just that. We're told as individuals that God knit us together in our mother's womb. That we were wonderfully and fearfully made. Some of you more fearfully than... No, I'm joking. But we have been wonderfully and fearfully made. As individuals, God had a dream for each and every one of us. I'm going to make you, I'm going to form you. That was the actual word there. I'm going to form you. I'm going to put you together, knit you together for this specific type of thing, for this specific purpose. This is who you are. Looking at every one of you, every one of us are different. We're all unique, different people. And I know that to be true for every one of us. I believe it to be true when we take a group of people together. That same thing is there. That not just who we are is who we are because we were the result of our past. But it goes back before our past, before the inception, before that the little plaque over in the old church area. It goes way past that even. Way past, that's what, 1930, I think, is what that one is, 1931 or something. 1856, I think, is when this church first incorporated. It goes way back past that. I believe that just as God has knit us together as individuals in our mother's womb, I believe that entities like this, God's church, bodies of Christ, I believe God had a dream for Miami Town before Miami Town even existed. I believe God had a purpose and a reason for Miami Town to be here before we even started dreaming, before any of us were even alive. And I believe that to be true because we see this in an individual basis. And a lot of the things that we see on an individual basis, the way that God works with us, we see it on a corporate basis is how God deals and works with his church and his people. And so I look at that and I say, okay, we are who we are today, present, not just because of what we've had in our past. We are who we are today because God has dreamed us to be this. Does that feel good? It does for me. I mean, just get a couple, yeah, it feels okay. Now get that, like, let that sink in. Absorb that for a moment. We're not just who we are because of what we've been through. Good, bad, ugly, all of it. We are who we are because God has dreamed us to be who we are. Every church has got a personality of their own, just like every person's got a personality of their own. It's like every church has their own little individual fingerprint. And we are who we are because God has dreamed us to be who we are. And I believe every one of us who are here today, who are involved at Miami Town at this moment, at this time, that it is a God thing. It is a divine appointment that you are here and we are here together. And we are who we are today because God has dreamed it. So we got this dream event coming up in just about a half an hour. Maybe a little quicker if I can talk faster. And we're going to be dreaming. And I want us to think, and just to, as we go into that, to go to thinking scripturally, biblically, about what dreams are. Where are they? We know that they're built on our foundation. And everything that we've got in our past has gone into that foundation. Even before that, everything that God has dreamed us to be is part of our foundation. And our dreams are going to be brought on top of that. They're going to be laid on that foundation. So let's take a quick look at what our dreams are. In the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit comes down on the disciples, and they all start sharing the gospel in all these different languages, there's some people who are amazed and perplexed. They even say, aren't these guys rednecks? How can they speak in all? Okay, they say, aren't these guys all Galileans? But that was the understanding. You got Galileans, and you got, you know, those in Judea. The scholarly, the Jerusalem, and then you got the Galileans, you know, the carpenters and the fishermen and the rah, 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 you know. Aren't these guys Galileans? How do they know how to speak in all these different languages? They were amazed. Well, there are some that were amazed. There are others that were saying, they're drunk. They've been drinking too much. And so Peter takes this opportunity. Peter, we talked about just a little bit ago. He opens his mouth. He's like, these people are not drunk as you suppose. I love his reasoning. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. It's way too early for that stuff, those shenanigans. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. We studied Joel a few weeks ago. And because we were looking at the whole book, I didn't get a chance to really dig into some pieces. But this is a very prominent piece from the book of Joel that speaks about the time we live in today. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. So let's write this down. Our dreams are prompted by the Holy Spirit. Our dreams are prompted by the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, God spoke to his people in various ways, in different ways. Today, we have his Holy Spirit living inside of us. God living inside of us, communicating to us, which is amazing. And I think we just get so used to it. And we should never, ever get used to how awesome it is that God lives in us, his presence in us. He dwells in us. That's why Jesus said, I have to leave because something better is coming. I was here for the purpose of giving my life, of teaching you, of instructing you, showing you what the kingdom looks like, showing what it looks like to give yourself to the kingdom. But I have to leave because there's something better coming. And if I don't go, he's not going to come. And the he was talking about was the Holy Spirit. And so God comes and he lives inside of us. And one of the many, many purposes of the Holy Spirit is to lead us, to move us. And it's so awesome because the Holy Spirit that's in every one of you is in me. And we all have the same. And it's not copies. It's not like we have the same copy of the Holy Spirit. It's not like a bunch of, you know, it's not like Clone Wars. We just have all these different clones of the Holy Spirit. No. It's the Holy Spirit living in every one of us. He's not divided out. He's singular, which is awesome, especially thinking about events that are coming up here in just a little bit. That God's Holy Spirit will be prompting us to dream. And the dreams that he'll be bringing to every one of the individuals here, they're all coming from the same source. Because that's the way it works. That's the way it works in the New Testament. We see many times that God gives vision to his people. And he comes to them in visions. Ananias had a vision that was given to him about Saul's conversion to Paul. Peter was given a vision about God's goal to reach the Gentiles through the gospel. Paul was directed in a vision to go to Macedonia instead of Asia, where he wanted to go, but God gave him a vision to go somewhere else. He followed that vision. Paul was encouraged by a vision to keep up the good work in Corinth, an environment that had become hostile and dangerous to him. So whatever dreams that God brings today will no doubt be prompted by the Holy Spirit. And so, church, let me encourage you. Open yourself up to the Holy Spirit speaking through you today. Just let him talk. Let him speak to your heart. You don't have to be a Bible college graduate to dream. That's the beauty of God living inside of us. You don't have to have been part of this church for 50 years in order to dream. It could be your first Sunday here. And God could use you to bring dreams. And that can happen. Can it? Yes? You believe that? I believe it. It's how God works. We're just conduits. We're just the vehicle that God works through, that God uses. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the dreams. It's consistent in Scripture. It's consistent as we've watched it happen. Not only are our dreams prompted by the Holy Spirit, but our dreams are dependent on God for success. In the examples that I just mentioned, this is the very same thing. Ananias was given this vision of Saul converting to Paul, and he was scared because Saul had a dangerous reputation. He was hostile towards Christians and towards the way. Is what the church was originally called. It took trust for Ananias to move on that vision. It took faith in God for him to move on that vision that God gave him. He had to be dependent on God to follow that vision, to follow that dream, as small as it might have seemed. But we all know from reading the rest of the book of Acts, that was no small endeavor. God said, Ananias, there's a man named Saul. And he's like, you mean Saul from Tarsus? And he's like, yeah, that's the man. And he's like, no, I think you got me wrong. What did I do? What did I do that you're sending me to Saul? And God's like, I need you to go to him. He's ready. Ananias got to baptize Saul. Little did he know that this man would end up, the Holy Spirit through Paul would end up writing a majority of the books that we have in our New Testament. That he would be God's instrument to reach the Gentile world. That he would be stoned and left for death, only to stand back up and walk back in that same town with the tenacity that he had. To be shipwrecked multiple times, to be pressed down, hard pressed, but never destroyed. And Paul just kept on. He was the Energizer Bunny of the first church. He just kept on going and kept on going and kept on going. God gave Ananias that dream as small and simple as it might have seemed, boy, it just turned into a huge waterfall, didn't it? But it took faith. That was not an easy thing for Ananias to do. There was no reason, earthly reason, to believe that he was safe going to Paul, Saul, as he was called at that time. He was walking into certain doom when you looked at it on an earthly perspective. Church, as we dream today, we need to understand that any of the dreams that we bring, all of the dreams that the Holy Spirit prompts us to dream about today, they are going to require dependence on God for success. So that's Ananias and his vision. Peter was a Jew. He was good at reaching the Jews. God gives him this dream to reach out to the Gentiles. And Peter's like, okay. And then it's straight after the event, you know. Who's at the door? It's a Gentile. He's got a story to share with you about how God's brought the Holy Spirit onto some Gentiles in Cornelius' house. Oh, I guess we're doing this now, huh, God? He didn't have time to process it. He didn't have time to work through it at all. It's just like, here's the vision. Here you go. Who's there? We've been sent here by God. We need you to help us out. We're Gentiles and we got this thing called the Holy Spirit. The what? How did you get him without being baptized? Okay, we need to come get things in the right order here now. So Peter goes out there. That took amazing dependence on God. How am I going to reach out to this people group? How am I going to go to this? I don't have anything in common with these guys. I don't know much about this. They've always been the bad guys. They've always been the dirty, rotten, filthy Gentiles, and we're the Jews. And now, within moments, seconds, Peter has to reconfigure his thoughts, and that took dependence on God. That took dependence on God to depend on God's wisdom, depend on God's leadership, depend on God's guidance as he reached out to the Gentiles and followed the dream that God had given to him. Paul had to trust God when God told him to stay in Corinth. He encouraged Paul, stay in Corinth. It was dangerous in Corinth. Paul's life was at risk. We hear stories about J. Henry and some of our other missionaries and how dangerous it is. How Salonique is at one of the sites and they're throwing rocks. And then Walt's in a gangster chase years and years and years ago in mid-India with guns. You should get the story from him sometime. You won't believe it, but it's true. And here Paul is in Corinth, and it's an awful mess, and it's dangerous. And God encourages him, you continue to do my good work. You continue to follow the dream of taking the gospel to the Gentiles, and you let me take care of the rest of this. And Paul stayed there. If I remember right, it was a year and a half. He continued on. That took faith. That took dependence on God. It's not just the New Testament. You see this in the Old Testament as well. You think of people like Moses, where God gave Moses the vision to free the people in slavery in Egypt, to free them of their slavery in Egypt. That's a huge task. He's going to go up toe-to-toe against the Pharaoh. One of the most powerful men in positions of a powerful empire of Egypt. And he's going to say, hey, let God's people go. Let me have all your free labor. Because we need to go back to our hometown because it's time. That took full dependence on God. God had to show, here's what you do. Here's this plague. Here's this plague. Here's this plague. There was a lot of trust, a lot of faith. It was full dependence on God to accomplish those things. People like David. who faithfully followed God and followed God's vision. God said, I've selected you as my next king. And you guys know the story of David. That didn't just that was just some little happy, you know, transition. Okay, thanks, God. And then all of a sudden, poof, he's got a scepter in his hand and he's on the throne. Not the case at all. That was an awful time for David. But God gave him the dream. Here's the dream. Here's my dream for you. It's your dream now. And here's what's going to happen. But it took a lot of faith. It took full dependence on David, from David to God, for that dream to become a success. People like the prophets Elijah and Elisha and all the wondrous works that they did, every one of them were dependent on God to accomplish what God had set before them. In our new core values, one of our core values is that we will be devoted to God. And the definition that we have of that is that we will have full dependence on God and a complete abandonment of self. That's what we have defined as our core value number two, to be devoted to God. We must be dependent on God for success. And that's the only way we're going to be able to follow the dreams that God brings today. If these dreams are prompted by the Holy Spirit, which is exactly where they should be coming from, these are not going to be us-sized dreams, church. These are going to be God-sized dreams that come. And God-sized dreams means God, dependence on God and faith in God to see those come to a success. We're not going to be able to look at these dreams and say, okay, we can do this. That's not a dream. That's a thought. That's an idea. A dream from God's Holy Spirit is something where we look at it and we say, okie dokie. Look in Scripture when God gave him the dreams. I'm going to make you a great nation. Years later, no kids. Okay, how's this going to work again, God? God's like, you just got to have faith in me. It's going to happen. Look at the stars. Moses, burning bush. Me? Really? Surely not. I mean, I'm not really good at this, or I'm not really good at that. Da, da, da. And God's like, no, look, this is going to happen. It's going to happen because you're going to be dependent on me. I'm going to make it happen. You're the guy I'm going to do it through. And we could go story, 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 story. So today, don't dream about what is possible by our own strength. That's not a dream. Don't let your dreams be limited by what is realistic. Let God guide your dreams today. Let His Holy Spirit bring them to you. And as you're sitting at the table and you're thinking, this is crazy, that's the one. That's the one we want. We want that captured. And it might not be the one for the next year. It might not be the one for the next year after that. It might not be in the 3-year plan. It might be a dream that as the leaders look at this, we set it aside and we say, okay, that's an awesome dream. We're not quite there yet. That's a 5-year dream. But man, let's keep that one. I'm really glad this dream event brought that dream. Let the Holy Spirit prompt your dreams. And don't be afraid of dreaming too big. That's one of the great things about an event like this. There's no wrong answer. No wrong answer. Just throw it all out there. I know Lou called me and we were talking, what was it, Thursday night. And she was thinking, well, what about this? What about this? And I'm like, just dream. It's okay. She's on the dream team. She's like, I want to make sure I know how to kind of facilitate things and move things. And I'm like, just keep them dreaming. Let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Just keep it going. We've got some parameters and some things we'll be sharing about downstairs to focus our dream time together. But just dream. Dream big. Don't let your physical mind put limitations on the dreams that God might bring to us. If our dreams are from God, they will require our dependence on Him for success. So our dreams will be prompted by the Holy Spirit. They will be dependent on God for success. And our dreams will be focused on God's kingdom. We must keep a kingdom focus. One of the original ideas that Ryan had brought up at the elders meeting, he was like, the sermon needs to talk about how it's bigger than just us as individuals or us as a church. And that night as I was driving home, I thought, okay, I got a nice little three-pointer here, a classic, you know, catchy little, you know, and if I can remember it right off the top of my head. We is bigger than me. She is bigger than we. He is bigger than she. What? We, Miami Town Church of Christ, is bigger than me. It's bigger than any one of us as an individual. Take that to the next level. We, as a church, she is bigger than we. Capital C. The bride of Christ. So we get to thinking outside our little just me, just you, our church. But bigger than our church, we're part of the churches. We're part of the church, capital C. And there's all sorts of things we can do with other entities and other groups to partner with them and to work with them. And it's not just us. And we've got, I think it was just on my desk or something because it was fresh in my mind, but we've got the Outreach Pregnancy Center moving through some changes and things going on there out in Harrison. Great stuff. Maybe there'll be a dream or a vision today. I'm not trying to plan anything there, but I'm just giving that as an example. Maybe there'll be a dream or a vision to do more in that area. It doesn't mean that we have to come up with it or we have to do it as we might have entities outside of us that's part of capital C. So she is bigger than we, and he is bigger than she. And so we keep our eye on his kingdom, not just on us. Not just on our church, not even just on capital C, but his kingdom. He is bigger than all of that. And so as we dream, we must be focused on God's kingdom. Yeah, I've already got some of that. I'm just looking at my notes for like the first time today. Okay, yeah. So let those dreams come. Be kingdom focused. Our third core value is growing God's kingdom. And we took that from the great commission that Jesus gives in Matthew 25. 28. 25 is the sheep and the goats. And we have defined that as it was just here, to grow God's kingdom, increasing and developing devoted followers, devoted disciples of Christ. Increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus. And so we want to grow God's kingdom. We're not going to grow God's kingdom if our focus is not on the kingdom as we dream. So we put our focus on his kingdom. Let the Holy Spirit prompt your dreams today. Understand that these dreams will require dependence on God to be successful and dream with the kingdom in focus. And then just real quick as we look into what the next, as we turn this page, what's coming. Just a couple real quick notes. Dreams will bring struggles. Let's write that down because that's true. Dreams will bring struggles. Every one of them in the Bible did. We're not going to escape that. It's going to happen, and it's okay. Perfectly okay. Wonderfully okay. One of the examples that came up in the preaching team, they were like, oh, Joseph, didn't he? He had a bunch of dreams. And I started digging into that. I was like, okay, that's not really a positive story. Because he dreams, and then what happens? He gets sold to slavery. They go back home and tell Dad, hey, Dad, is this his coat? Is this the wonderful, beautiful coat that you gave him, covered in blood? that it, he must have been devoured by wild animals. And they know, they took him, they sold him into slavery. And then he went there and he was hired by Potiphar and he ended up rising to the top there. And God blessed him because he was a righteous man, he was faithful, and he was dependent on God. Even though he had plenty of deterrence from his dream, he stayed focused on God. And he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of making a pass at her. He lost his coat again. Different coats. She grabbed a hold of it and he ran, which is what you do when you're faced with any kind of sexual temptation. The Bible says run. In other places, the Bible says stand. But when you read, it says run. So even before the New Testament was written, Joseph was like, I know what to do here. Run. He left his coat behind. And that was her proof to blackmail him and say, hey, look at this. He was making a pass at me. I even have his coat. He got thrown in jail. He got forgotten in jail. And then eventually, it's remembered that Joseph, the dreamer, can interpret dreams. And he interprets a dream for Pharaoh and saves Egypt. And then all of his family ends up moving to Egypt. And God's people are saved through all of that. They are maintained through a severe famine that hit the land that Joseph warned the Pharaoh about through these dreams that God gave Pharaoh. And so Joseph, boy, God put some big dreams, but they were not without his struggles. I mean, it was just one after another after another. It's not really an uplifting story to read through. But once you get to the end, it's like, oh, wow, I'm so glad he stuck with it. God says, here's what's going to happen. And it did. And it did. But it's going to have struggles. There are going to be obstacles along the way. That's not anything new for any of us here. But that doesn't mean that the dreams were wrong. That doesn't mean that the dreams weren't from God. It just means that that's the way it's going to be. That it is what it is. Well, Mike Ladd phrase. It is what it is. Don't be deterred by this. Don't see those as setbacks. Church, when we have these dreams that we're going to follow, we must follow them with the same tenacity that other biblical heroes followed their dreams that God gave them. And when we struggle, we're going to struggle through these things together. Amen. Not with each other. That's not what the struggle's for. We're going to struggle together through it. Because we're going to follow these dreams. Because these dreams we know came from God. So these dreams, they're going to bring change. That should go without saying. But it doesn't hurt to bring it up. That's the purpose of dreaming, isn't it? Yes. I mean, when we think about it, we might be all excited. Yeah, let's go dream. It's a new thing. And we're going to, oh, that means change. Yeah, people don't know that. I've learned, I don't like change as much as I think I do. My wife was like, you talk about change and change and change. She said, you do the same thing every morning. You don't like to change. I like to sit in the same spot anytime we go to a movie. Because I like that spot. It's a comfy spot for me. I'd sit my neck turned the wrong way too long. It's just not good for me. Sometimes when I'll go places, I'll park in the same spot. Back when you used to go to malls. Now I'll go to Amazon. But back when we used to go to malls, I would park in the same spot. Even if the place I was going was on the other side of the mall, I'd park in the same spot. Why? Because I knew where my car was. I wouldn't have to get done and go, where did I park? And at the time, I was driving the Firebird, so you couldn't look out across the parking lot and see it. He was just kind of stealthy. And so, change is going to happen. That's the whole thing that's happening here, and it's beautiful. It needs to happen. We're not, as we spoke of before, we're not changing our beliefs. We're not changing our principles. We're not changing, God's word does not change. Jesus does not change. The gospel does not change. We're not changing any of that. But things are changing all around us. Our culture, our society, and you see this through the New Testament. You see it through the whole 2,000 years that the church has existed, that the church's methods need to change in order to reach more people, in order to reach the people around us. We've got people around us. We've got a demographic. We're going to be talking about that in just a little bit downstairs. We've got a demographic study that we've done on our area. We understand a little bit more about the people around us and what interests them and what their needs are. And we want to change our methods to be able to reach those people. It doesn't mean we're changing anything about our beliefs. But dreams will bring change. And that's great. Because if we lose the ability to change, we will lose our ability to be relevant. And I know your hearts. And I know that's not something that any one of us wants. Church, you've got a beautiful heart. You really do. You care about people. You care about the gospel. You care about connecting people to Jesus. There's not a one of us here that I believe that looks at a baptism on a Sunday morning and thinks, oh, come on, this means the service is going to be longer. No, I believe from what I know of you that in every one of your hearts, when we have someone come forward, and even if it's been a long sermon, you're like, yes, we get to watch another person give their life to Christ, to be baptized into him. I believe that is true in every one of your hearts. I believe that's part of our heart as a church. To get that moving, to get that mobile, to get that, to connect with people, there's going to be changes. And that's okay. That's great. We're going to work through those together. Amen? And then finally, this is final, last. I'm just going to say this. We're going to write it down. Our dreams will bring rewards. And man, oh man, how exciting is that? And you look at any of the people I mentioned, you look at Abraham, rewards. You look at Moses, rewards. You look at Peter, rewards. You look at Elijah, rewards. Elisha, rewards. Joseph, even rewards. Every time there's a God-given dream in Scripture, it will end in reward. And I look forward to that. And it's not just one. It's one and one and one and one and one. So, are you guys ready to dream? I am. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for who you are. For leading us and guiding us and moving us to this moment as a church, as we've been walking through the renewing of the focus, and we've been renewing how we think about things, being able to evaluate ourselves as a church. Father, I ask your blessing on this event. Not that this is the first time that any of us have asked for your blessing on this event. But we come to you yet one more time and we ask you, speak through your people. Let the conversation that happens at each of these tables be conversations that are Holy Spirit prompted. They're dreams that require dependence on you. They're dreams that are kingdom focused. Father, help us to all be dreamers today. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.